We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN as we continue here on a Thursday morning. And not going to move too far away from Fort Riley. Going to go up to a little bit up the highway to the Manhattan Regional Airport, where we're visited here today by Director Jesse Romo, who joins us via Zoom. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Pleasure to have you on the program this morning. I know it's been a challenging past almost a year here for the airport, but let's talk a little bit about kind of recapping 2020 and what you guys kind of dealt with out there at the airport.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to believe we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary where it kind of all happened. But so before COVID-19, we had three consecutive years of record growth at the Manhattan Regional Airport. In 2019, we saw 80,000 people fly out of the airport. In 2020, we were down to 32,000. So that's a 59% drop from the previous year, but it is directly related to COVID. Our worst month was in April. That's when restrictions really hit. We were down 96% that month versus the same month the previous year. And really the saving grace for us has been, we're not in it alone. You know, we've been following the national trends on each of our months as we compare to what's going on across the entire system. You know, in April, everybody was down about 96%. And for the year, everybody was down about 60%. So for us coming in with those numbers, at least we're following the national trends. So we're hoping that, you know, once vaccines start kicking in and people start thinking about future travel and you know, business economy also recovers with travel budgets, that we can see our numbers get back to where they were. But right now we're kind of in that holding pattern and see what happens next. You know, 2020 has definitely been a year of uncertainty, and 21, I think, has a little bit of hope to it, but we're still living in some uncertain times.
Yeah, obviously, good thing that you're not a trendsetter. You're actually following the trends, I suppose. That's maybe the biggest breath of fresh air out of what could have been. You know, looking back, back in April, if I'd have told you that you were down 59% for the whole year, what would you have believed that, or would you have thought it would be much worse?
In April, I would have said, that's great, because that's when we were at 96% down, and we weren't sure what was going to happen and when air service was going to return. So, you know, there has never been an event like this ever occur. So there's no baseline to compare it against. And, you know, the biggest event that we had in our aviation industry was 9/11, and 3 days worth of shutdown from 9/11 took about 2.5 years, 3 years of recovery for the airlines and travel to get back to where it was pre 9/11 levels. So for you know, this kind of a pandemic event to occur over a longer period of time, we had no idea of when recovery would kick in, and we're still kind of waiting to see, you know, what happens. So, you know, 60% down, like you said, the nice thing is we are following the national trends. I know it's been disappointing to folks that we don't have Chicago service right now. We're still at 2 flights a day to Dallas. We're very pleased to be able to continue our Dallas flights. We're hopeful that Chicago return, you know, maybe in the spring. We're kind of on pace and on schedule to see a third flight a day to Dallas return in March. But, you know, with those flights returning, we also have to have the people that travel. And it's not just our market, it's the entire system. So, you know, American had reduced service to Chicago, not just for Manhattan, but a lot of regional airports our size. And, you know, Chicago saw a lot of reductions. And so it's just one of those things where it's unfortunate, but we are seeing that as a national trend.
And just to clarify for anyone out there who wonders why that happened, that's out of your control. That's American's decision.
That's correct. These are all decisions made by the airline themselves. And, you know, that's something that they have to grapple with, is they have a reduction of people buying tickets and traveling. So they have to adjust accordingly. And, you know, we've all been fortunate too to see some relief come from federal government, and congressional action took place early, you know, in the COVID time, where we got the CARES Act, and that gave $10 billion nationwide to airports, and Manhattan Regional Airport got $2.1 million out of that. And for a $1.5 million operating budget, that sustained us pretty well for the rest of the year. It also put us in a good position to help our tenants out. So, you know, not just the airlines in there, but the concessionaires, the rental car agencies, the Kansas Jet Center, the FBO that provides fuel and aircraft handling to all aircraft. Everybody who was adversely impacted by the reduction of air service was able to see some rent relief last year afforded by that CARES Act grant. And so, you know, more recently, the Congress took action on a new relief package, and we're now looking at a couple billion dollars for airports across the nation. And we're eagerly awaiting the FAA's decision on how they're going to distribute those funds. And we're hopeful by the end of this month, by the end of January, that we should have some answer on additional funding relief for us. So along with us, the airlines are getting that relief as well. And that's huge for not just airports, but for airlines and the travel industry, because we're all connected to, you know, this large travel ecosystem, and it's been impactful across the board for all of us.
Yeah, it certainly has. Jesse Romo again joining us here. He's the director of the Manhattan Regional Airport. I believe we have a caller standing by on the phone line with a question or a comment, so we'll get to them. I believe it's Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Yes, thank you for your efforts there at the airport for getting us a functional de-icing truck to take the ice off the wings of the aircraft. You know, things were a lot different before you got there, and we're able to work with other people to get the things we need. When I drive by the airport on our new Highway 18, I always think about the stimulus package that helped buy that Highway 18 and how that 880-page stimulus package from the fall that possibly your grant writer could get us the money to put in that new runway out there in the pasture. You know, we used Department of Transportation money to put that new runway in there at Fort Lauderdale, and I'm sure you could do the same thing here to support the larger aircraft that the military uses and give us another 40 years of documented runway out there in the pasture. Thank you so much for thinking about us.
All right. Thank you for
the call. And thank you. Appreciate the kind comments. And Brandon, if you're ready, you know, that also transitioned us to the next big topic item, which is our runway. And, you know, we have a future reconstruction that's looming overhead, and we anticipate construction to occur in 2023. We had a two-year effort with an airport master plan update that looks at all the aircraft that come in, the aircraft needs, the runway dimensions, forecasts over the next 5 to 20 years. All those things are taken into consideration and submitted to the FAA, and it kind of goes through this whole process of analyses per their design standards. And, you know, we're doing all that we can to maintain the dimensions that we have and to continue to help support the large aircraft of all size that we get in.
And forgive me if I'm incorrect here. I just want to make sure. The FAA has said that they don't believe you need that runway, the 150-foot wide, but the city's position has been largely they disagree with that.
That's right. You know, right now we have 7,000 feet in length by 150 foot in width. And by the new FAA design standards, with the type of aircraft that we get and the frequency, we don't qualify for 150 foot wide runway. We qualify for 100 feet. And so the FAA will say, you know, we will only fund the 100 foot width, but it is your call. If you want to keep 150 feet, you can. You're just going to pay for the extra 50 feet yourself. And so that's the position they put the city in. And, you know, we have been very supportive of all the aircraft that have come in. It's largely the charter aircraft that come in for K-State athletics, as well as for military support. And so those are the aircraft that we see. We probably about a couple hundred per year. The by the FAA standards, by the way, you need to have 500 of those operations per year. So, you know, we're just shy of halfway there to meet their standard and threshold. But, you know, it would be a tremendous loss to us and our region to not be able to help support those types of charter activities for K-State and Fort Riley. So yeah, all of our leaders in the local community are being very supportive of keeping that 150 foot width. We also have 7,400 feet worth of pavement length that's there right now, even though I said, you know, we have a 7,000 foot runway. We're doing all that we can to recapture that additional 400 feet of pavement to be usable runway for us for declared distance and takeoffs. So that also should come to fruition. So we'll actually see a little bit of a longer runway, not that we're actually gaining any pavement, we're just reusing the pavement that's there. So yeah, we're doing all that we can to help maintain and support the missions of our local supporters.
Well, there's no doubt something that's gonna take some time to get figured out. Obviously, a big price tag with that. I think it's about $3.5 million to maintain. So that means, you know, maybe some political persuasion coming down the pipe here at some point.
Yeah, it's a hefty price tag. You know, for the entire project overall is about $35 million, and when you're looking at paying for the additional 50 feet, it's about $3.5-4 million for the city costs. We're still, you know, trying to refine those numbers. Then you got to look at, you know, you got taxiway connectors that get to your taxiway and to pay for that. You also, the third component to this, not just length and width, but is depth. The depth of the runway and your pavement really will drive a lot of the weight that you can sustain for aircraft. And that's something else that we're evaluating right now to see whether or not we need to go a little bit thicker in pavement. That's something that is not a clear-cut answer. We look at all the different types of aircraft, both civilian and military, and try to figure out all the needs. And you do the best you can to try and find that lowest common denominator to really serve everything. And understanding too, then coming with that balance of finding ways to fund the additional costs. That's one point too I should probably make is when the FAA is looking at evaluating what's eligible for their funding, they do not include military aircraft. You know, they will only look at civilian aircraft. And so military aircraft don't count in their calculations, because if it's that important to military missions, then they, you know, expect US DOD to step in with additional funding. So they only look at the civilian, that's the general aviation and the commercial airline activity that go into the airport.
That seems unfortunate, but I guess that's how it is. You can't do much about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and continue our conversation after these messages here on News Radio KMAN.